Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for our show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African American and African solar companies, large and small, to increase market share to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize African American owned farmlands and HBCUs campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African Americans, men and women, locally and nationally. Also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and today's date is September the 29th, 2021. And you also know that this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com, scroll over to our GoFundMe link, and you will see that we have been doing the work. We don't walk the walk or talk the talk. We get it done. So this show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information about the National Association of Blacks in Solar by logging on to blacksinsolar.org, and we have a new website that I'm pleased to announce will be up in this week. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. We have the privilege of having a conversation with Mr. Fred Olatunde, who's president of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa, and Mr. John Karenga of Kenya, Africa. And we are going to drill down on the work that these gentlemen are doing with their organizations. John is the founder of Melon Solar, and he happens to be blessing us with his presence because he's here in the U.S. Right now. He's in Boston from Kenya, and I have the privilege of having both of them on our guest line this morning. So I'm going to bring them right on into the format because we want to talk about the 22nd annual U.S. African Trade and Investment Conference trade show, which will be held in Miami, which is being put on and hosted by Mr. Fred Olatunde's organization, the Foundation for Democracy in Africa, and this will take place in Miami, and it will also be offered virtually from October the 6th through the 8th of this year, 2021. So without further ado, first I'm going to bring on Fred Olatunde, and then I'll be bringing back to the airways our friend John Baringa. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ron. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice and to see how you continue on the mission of economic emancipation and integration. Thank you for all your hard work, Ron.
Well, Fred, you're more than welcome, bud. I want to bring John on this into this conversation. Before we do that, Fred, you have been doing outstanding work with the Foundation for Democracy in Africa. Could you please go into explaining to our listening audience who you are, a little of your background, and why did you start the Foundation of Foundation for Democracy in Africa, and what specifically your organization does, and then we'll bring Brother John right on into the conversation. Go right ahead, Fred.
Hey, thanks, Ron. The Foundation for Democracy in Africa actually started in 1994, and the goal of the founders, which I am one of the co-founders, is actually to leverage the opportunities that the end of the Cold War, presents to emerging African democracies in a way that we can build a strong, resilient, but still nimble private sector that would advance people's progress on the continent. Also, which has been most of what has been done and up to today to address those challenges that the Cold War and the inapted approaches to Africa may have caused during the Cold War. So I am always delighted to be around people like John Karanja, the next generation, and also with people like yourself who have been soldiers in the trenches trying to address some of those old shortcomings. I will look at the future as to what exactly the role of Africa, Africans, people of African diaspora has to offer not only to Africa, but also to the global community, and this we have been doing since the beginning of life itself. So in a nutshell, the foundation works in addressing some of those, if you may, bondage issues that some of the emerging democracies in Africa have to upload and be able to be fully integrated as equals in the global economy, utilizing those resources, which is not only limited in terms of natural resources, but also human capital, human assets, human presence, intellectual contribution to what the global problems are today, will be tomorrow, and also in the next future. And so our 22nd Africando, which stands for Africa Can Do. If I can do, and if you can do, then Africa can do. That's where the slogan comes from. And we're going to be focusing on very cutting issues that are very, very, very important. One of them include addressing how we can reset based on the current COVID-19 pandemic challenges. The United States and Africa trade and economic engagement. How do we use the challenges of COVID-19 and the opportunity it presents to strengthen U.S.-Africa engagement and U.S. trade and economic arrangements? We're going to also be focusing on the issues of climate and how climate affects not only politics in Africa, but globally. We are seeing now, because of the issues of climate impact, unintended migration, moving from less resource countries into more resource countries, and also causing exorbitated agitation in terms of separatist movements, trying to see how they could encroach in areas that they may not belong. But because of the effect of climate, people are resorting to weapons. They will resort into approaches that threaten national sovereignty. And that is why we want to present some of the ideas and some of the solutions that SOLA presents, including working with your network, the Blacks in SOLA, and also working with John Karanja on these innovative approaches that can help present solutions, not only in Africa, but globally, but bringing people of Africa and the African diaspora at the table as part of the solution. We're going to also be talking, John and Ron, about the necessity for the United States government under the leadership of current President Joe Biden and also the United States Congress, both the Senate and the House, sure that there is adequate provisions in terms of technology transfer and financial resources for the local production of COVID-19 vaccine in Africa. We have 1.3 billion people in Africa, and currently there is not one country that has the wherewithal in terms of supply chain and also adequate manufacturing to ensure that the issues around COVID-19 is addressed from a local source of production. I'm going to have one of the brightest minds in the world, and I say this with all due respect, who are now in the cutting edge of producing COVID-19 and who are in Africa, who will be talking to the diaspora, the larger diaspora, and all the global diaspora about what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, and what are the contributions that the diaspora can bring at this high table of intellectual discussion in trying to leverage all of our input into being able to produce locally, and I mean locally, COVID-19 vaccines in African countries. So, John, I am looking forward to your participation. Ron, I look forward to you to join us during the conference and include your voice or voices so that we can present the solutions, these recommendations, which also fortunately will be taking place just before the 19th U.S. Africa Trade and Economic Cooperation Ministerial that is currently slated for 2021 of October here in Washington and across sub-Saharan Africa. So when you participate in Africando 2021, you are also integrated, an integral part of presenting your recommendations to this high ministerial conference, which my organization, the Foundation for Democracy in Africa, through the AGOA Civil Society Network Secretariat, has been contributing to since 2000, when the AGOA law was passed by Congress and signed by President Bill Clinton. Thank you very much, Ron.
Well, I greatly appreciate that historical overview of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa and the work that you have been doing, Fred. You know, I'm a great fan of yours, and we've been friends for a long time. But I want to bring to the airways of back to the airways of SOLA Now and Future with its Economic Impact, Mr. John Karenga. I hope I haven't changed your father's last name, but I've been struggling with the pronunciation. But please forgive me. But welcome back to the airways of SOLA Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And you and your organization, Mellon SOLA, y'all are doing some game-changing work in the solar and renewable energy industry. So, John, why don't you just step right on in and introduce yourself and let people know who you are and what you are doing at Mellon SOLA in Kenya. And I know that you're here in the U.S. right now working with some of your staffing folk here that are based in the U.S. around the issue of Bitcoin. So if you can sort of lay that out for our listening audience, we would greatly appreciate that. And welcome back to the airwaves.
Well, Asante Sana Ron, thank you. My name is John Karenga, so you're pretty close. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Mellon SOLA. I'd like to say, first of all, it's an honor to be on your show once again with Fred, who has really been doing great work for many years in advocating for integration of, you know, African markets onto the global economy, which is something we feel that our company is aligned to in terms of what we do. So just to give you sort of a brief summary of what we do, we historically began as BitHub Africa, which was basically just a community initiative to advocate for the adoption of blockchain technology, initially with a focus on Bitcoin, but more so with new technologies that are focusing around energy. And the last 7 years has seen sort of great uptick in adoption of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies for peer-to-peer remittance, and more notably in countries like Nigeria, where you are seeing a lot of people being able to access funds globally at low-cost rates. And we were sort of advocates for the technology by young people, but also we did engage a lot with regulators and governments, sort of showing them the utility of Bitcoin as a way to integrate the economies into a global economy at very low costs, and in a way that would actually bring the greatest impact to the African people. So what we ended up doing is working with people from around the world across 20 countries. To date, we developed a protocol called the WIFE protocol. And this is an internet protocol, just like the World Wide Web, which is commonly known as WWW or HTTP, which is the hypertext protocol, to enable the transfer and storage digitally of energy using what we call blockchain technology. So we have been able to deploy our first research and pilot site in a place known as Singiraine in Kajiado, Kenya. We call it the Singiraine Smart Village, that is allowing the community to harvest solar energy and store it in the form of digital tokens through a process known as proof of work mining. And we were able to deploy that site with our partners, Hivos, who put in the initial investment. And we're happy to say that we were able to sort of prove the case that solar mining can drive economic inclusion at the, you know, at the village level, which is very key in bringing households out of poverty, leveraging this technology. So we are very keen in working with, you know, Ron, Blacks in Solar, and the entire network, Fred, to see how we can scale this digital model of, you know, solar adoption across the African continent and even beyond Africa to places such as the Caribbean and Southeast Asia, where the solution is also badly needed. And we feel that the right way has been for us to build sort of the network globally, which is why I'm here with my co-founder, who is based in Boston, Mr. Christian Kakoba, to sort of leverage this digital technology in solar to drive the adoption of sustainable energy. So in terms of the economics of it all, the solar market is a $2 trillion opportunity on the African continent alone, and it's a $10 trillion opportunity globally. And in Africa, the investors, the solar power providers, the vendors have only been able to capture about $60 billion on the entire continent. And a lot of this has been challenges in terms of cost of manufacturing of solar equipment, whether it's the PV panels, the batteries, the inverters, which are mostly manufactured in Europe and China. And there's a logistical challenge in bringing them to the continent. So we also want to support initiatives that encourage local manufacturing of this equipment. And I think the Black Sea Solar Network would be very key in sort of building that network in countries such as Ghana, where we are, you know, working with, you know, Fred to sort of investigate how this can actually be done on the ground. So on our end, Melanin Solar, we bring in the blockchain technology. We work with previously existing solar vendors like Sundial, and we work with community leaders who are very important in sensitizing the community on the benefits of this technology and sort of giving us a platform to develop our solution. Thank you.
Well, John, I want to make clear to our organization, to our listening audience, that the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which I'm privileged to serve as the acting president, we are working in a collaborative matter with Peer Consultant, which is headed by Dr. Lillian Abrams, which is one of our leading environmental engineering firms, African-American owned here in the United States of America. She had, before the pandemic, which we know as the pandemic, hit the U.S. and has ravaged the planet Earth. We don't have but one, but some folks seem to think that we got more than one planet, but that's why they're trying to get up off this one. But here on planet Earth, her firm had five offices nationally in the U.S. and two offices in Africa in environmental engineering. And Dr. Lillian Abrams is one of the founding charter members of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. We also have WDC Solar, which is headed by Mr. Martin Davis. He's located in Washington, D.C., in Southeast Washington, D.C. They do virtual workforce development training to train the African community residents how to become EV installers to install those, what we would call solar panel systems on the rooftop. And they also train people in electrician trainings for certifications through the North American Board of Certification Practitioners, which sets the curriculum for workforce development training programs throughout the diaspora. That would include Canada, the U.S., and South America, which is the a leading organization in that area in terms of making sure that the training is uniformative throughout the diaspora in terms of, and as well as the North American continent. So what we're saying is we want to provide the same training opportunities to the African and African-American youth that everybody else is getting on the planet, you know, because there's only one race. It's called the human race, and that's what we are part of. So we know that the African culture and that our people, we have bought two civilization solutions to the problem. John, you have bought a solution to the problem, because in the United States of America, we are also up against the wall with something called climate change. And if people are following what is going on right now on Capitol Hill, they have something called the Human Infrastructure Bill as well as an infrastructure bill. We refer to the first bill, the $1.5 trillion bill, as the GOP, Gas, Petroleum, and Oil Industry, which they want to stay in the dinosaur area to deal with fossil fuels, which the carbonization in the environment is creating something called global warming. And if you don't believe that it's real, all you got to do is stick your head out of the door. It is supposed to be fall, and we still got almost summer temperatures right here in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And on a global standpoint, as we have looked at the impacts, which Fred elegantly expressed in his opening remarks, that it's caused people to have to leave their countries, not because they want to, because of climate change and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the flooding. And these all have economic implications. And we know, because we just witnessed how our Haitian brothers and sisters have been treated down on the border into a Reverend Sharpton, which I'm proud to say I'm a member of the National Action Network, which he's founder of. I used to run his D.C. chapter here in Washington, D.C., went down and did a press conference, and the very next day they found a way to get people who were literally living in mud and squalor under open bridges trying to get into the U.S. And what we were saying and what he is saying is, what is U.S. policy on immigration? If you're talking about having a set of policies, there can't be one way for one group of people and another way for another group of people, specifically because they're of African descent. And we, as the African-American community and the African community, must speak truth to power concerning these issues. And you have a solution, John, and what you are basing that solution is just scientific data, because in the United States of America, we have something called a green energy certificates that are known as what we call extracts, and they have a commodities market that's called the REX. They are traded every day. And in Washington, D.C. right now, because of the shortfall of D.C.-based land solar, they're trading for almost $400-something a kilowatt hour. And since you can monetize this and it has an economic value, could you go into some more explanation in explaining the science on how this will work with you being able to, the system of monetization that they have in the U.S. because it has a value, and use that application on the African continent to bring solar to millions of our African brothers and sisters who've never seen lights in their housing?
Yes, sir. I think you described it quite well. So the system that we're working on is called the WISE protocol, which is an internet protocol that is open source, which means it's developed by people from sort of different parts of the world who bring their contributions. And also the system is run in a distributed manner by people across the world using what you call mining nodes. In many cases, these nodes are actually also powered by solar. So basically what happens is, with blockchain technology, it has something called a distributed ledger, where records are kept over the internet, and people connect to this ledger using the computers. In our case, the protocol supports CPUs, which is sort of the average computers that people use on a day-to-day basis. And because it requires small mobile processing power, people in the villages can also deploy this solution in their homesteads, as we did in Singarene in Kenya, and join the network and sort of generate these digital tokens from harvesting solar energy with PV panels. And then these tokens are then used to transfer that energy because they represent the stored energy over the network. And because we are leveraging off the internet as a protocol, the tokens can be exchanged even globally. So currently we're at the stage where we just finished our pilot. The protocol is being taken up on what you call exchanges. The first exchange is based in Singapore, which has taken up the protocol, and there will be more exchanges to come. And the next thing is now to build the actual consumer applications on Melanin Solar. So this will be mobile applications, just like you have, you know, for, you know, the way you have your Uber application or your Uber Eats application. There'll be a similar application where people can share this energy over the internet peer-to-peer. And the idea is with this system, you'll see microgrids or solar grids or cloud grids sprouting up in villages across the African continent and around the world. And these villages now will be interconnected onto a global energy network where the energy can be treated peer-to-peer. And we estimate that the Melanin Solar Box solution, which is a computer solution, will increase the average monthly income for each household from about $50 to $100. And if you look at sort of the initiative that Fred was talking about, this is an amount that can bring people out of poverty because they'll be sort of having access to low-cost energy powered by solar, as well as getting additional income from their solar farm, because now, on top of being farmers of agricultural produce, they'll be also be farmers of solar energy. So this is a sort of a way to increase adoption of solar using incentives. And we are now at a stage where we want to begin piloting in more places and developing the commercial applications that will be needed to scale across across Africa and beyond.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just getting ready to bring you back into this conversation, Fred. I wanted to let our listening audience know that your conference starts on October the 6th and it goes through the 8th of this of next month, which is right around the corner. Matter of fact, it's next week. So we want people to be aware that they'll be able to participate in the AFRICON. Great. Now, I understand that you will be providing an opportunity for John to show a short, a bitty documentary trailer that he has produced to your to the African trade ambassadors to sort of share this idea with them. So could you elaborate on that, Fred?
Yes, yes, Ron. And definitely, you know, we have John Karanja, who is a renowned expert on how we can monetize the gift of God. And I was going to intervene when John was trying to explain to you how a poor farmer in Zamfara State in Nigeria could utilize his technology, some of what he's working on, not only to provide power to for his home, but for the extra amount that God provides for free through those collection sales. He can now transfer those to the national grid. So he becomes an entrepreneur using John's technology, and that technology allows income to come into his or our homes. And that's why we have invited John to be on the panel. He's going to be with the smartest speakers in the world to address how, despite the issues of the challenges of climate, what are the opportunities that bright minds like himself and others in Africa and across the world could present to turning this problem into a win-win situation. So he's going to be on the panel. I'm also asking John to bring with him his team so that they can pretty much join us on the 6th when we are having the workshops. We have 3 workshops, which will be on the 6th. One is going to be on AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which is a law passed in 2000 by Congress and signed by President Bill Clinton. It's on till 2025. It allows special preferential benefits to sub-Saharan African countries to bring exports, which becomes our imports, into the United States duty-free and quota-free. So that's one workshop. We're going to have a workshop also addressing climate. And I'm asking John to also join us during the 6th when we're going to have a workshop on climate in partnership with Claflin University, which is in South Carolina. It's a partner organization who have devised, if you mean, knowledge solutions on how the problems around climate can be addressed from a master's program in biotechnology. So we're going to have knowledge assets during that training. And so John's invention also kind of complements that and provide our larger audience the opportunity to see what is coming and how they can take advantages of that. Then the last workshop is going to be on cybersecurity. And this is very interesting because the issues of e-learning and the issues of e-commerce is one of the tools, is one of the solutions, solvency, leveraging effects that we hope that we can use to improve lifestyle and living standards in Africa. So you could be in your village in Kumasi, Ghana, but at the same time, you are able to sell whatever products you have across the globe and bring those income into your own community locally, creating prosperity and wealth. And so John has been invited to be on that panel, and I'm sure his contribution is going to be immense.
Well, Fred, I've already taken you and Brother John past the time that I asked you to be on this platform this morning, and I know that my listening audience have been truly blessed to listen to what you, Fred Olatunde, the president and founder of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa, and Brother John Baringa of Melon Solar has brought to our listening audience. So is there anything that y'all would like to share in closing? Because I try to keep my part of the bargain. If I ask people for 30 minutes, I don't try to hold them any longer than that. So could you give our listening audience, Fred, information on how they can reach you and find out about your organization, the Foundation for Democracy in All Africa? And once again, that date for the Miami, the Gateway to Africa, your trade investment conference will be held on October the 6th through the 8th of this year, 2021. And could you tell our listening audience how they can go online and find this very, very, very important conference? And after he gives out that information, John, I'd like for you to provide a way that our listening audience can get in contact with you. So go right ahead, Fred.
Thank you very much, Ron, for the invitation to this important platform. Now, the 22nd U.S.-Africa Trade and Investment Conference and Expo is taking place in Miami, Florida. Also, it coincides with a very important event that we are now bringing along, which is the 19th U.S.-Africa Trade and Economic Cooperation Civil Society Session. And if you go on our website, www.agoacsonetwork.org, agoacsonetwork.org, you would find all of the information on these important events. For those who also will be listening to the podcast, if you are interested in joining us and you would want any kind of support, please go ahead and email us at agoacsonetwork.org, and we'll be happy to discuss with you ways that we can provide a sponsorship for you to be able to join us virtually. I'm making a commitment because of the generosity of one of our sponsors, particularly for people in Africa who may want to join us, but because of the economic challenge of COVID-19, financial difficulties, I am able to comp and get them online just to join us. And everybody's welcome. I will look forward to your participation. And please come prepared with recommendations, suggestions, and comments. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Fred. Brother John, would you please share your contact information with our listening audience?
Yes, of course. Melanin Solar can be reached on the website melanin.solar. That is M-E-L-A-N-I-N dot S-O-L-A-R. The email for the company is company@melanin.solar, and our Twitter handle is @melaninsolar.
Well, brothers, I want to thank both of you for taking time from your busy schedule to join me this morning on Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And as I've said to you in the past, John, you know, you're not going to be a stranger to this platform, and you're back this morning, so thank you for that. And Brother Aladende, you know, I've been trying to get you up on this platform for a minute, but you would definitely not be a stranger to this platform. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for taking time from your very busy schedules to join us this morning on Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And Fred, you know I'll be joining you on the 6th on to support the conference. And Brother John, you know I'm in your corner doing that, trying to get the word out. Both of you will be on the Carl Nelson Show, which will be a national radio broadcast, which airs over WOL 1450 AM and 95.9, which is known as Magic, which is owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes. I'll be getting those dates and times to you both as soon as I get back with Carl Nelson. You will be a guest on his show in the very, very near future. So I want our listening audience out there to know that we understand, because of the nature of podcasts and how people listen to podcasts, is like not like a live radio stream. So we're aware of that. But we want to make sure that this information gets out to our community, the African and African-American community, so we can support these gentlemen in the work that they do, because they're not talking it, they're getting it done. And And that's what the National Association of Blacks and Solar, which I have privileged to serve as president in the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which I serve as the founder and CEO, we're about here on this platform, solar now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. So, gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us, and you have a great day, both of you.
Thank you, Ron, and keep the flag flying.
Gentlemen, we have, ladies and gentlemen, we've just listened to a guest that we have talking about the upcoming 22nd Annual U.S. African Trade and Investment Conference Trade Show, which will be held in Miami, Florida, and it's entitled Miami, the Gateway to Africa, October 6th to the 8th, 2021, and you were listening to the founder, co-founder of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa that will be hosting the event, and you were listening to John Karinga, the founder of Melon Solar, who is a genius. This young African brother has come up with something which I have classified as a game changer, and you can get more information by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. And you can type into the search box Melon Solar, and that specific blog will pop up, and it will lay out and explain the process of the technologies that they have created. Now, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause here on this version of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, and we'll be right back as we are getting ready to shift gears on another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black
America. I feel a song worth singing. I can just sing it. I feel a song worth singing. In the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you were just listening to our first segment of our show, which we had the privilege of having Fred Alladende, president and founder of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa, and Mr. John W. Karinga, who is the president and co-founder of Melon Solar. Now, we are looking at Biden's EPA orders, a slash in climate warning chemicals used in air conditioning and refrigeration. If you'll be able to find this article, which was written by Mrs. Emma Newberg, is published September the 27th, 2021, on CNBC. And you will be able to see a photo of the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Mr. Michael Regan, who is the first African American who attended an HBCU to go Aggies. I got to give him his properties. He went to the A&T, so you know, they got to stick their tests out. So we know about them Aggies up here in this camp where I'm from here. I played football at Morgan, and we used to, you know, A&T and Morgan hookup. It used to be of what we would call a rivalry. But now, you know, the bear got to go down there and bend over for four quarters, you know what I'm saying? It ain't even competition. So I got to get Aggies, they prophets here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And boy, it hurts me to say that. All due respect, because it's something called football season. And unfortunately, the North Carolina A&T Aggies have joined the Big South Conference, and we don't have to go down there. They don't have to come up here for our annual beatdown, because that's what we've been catching here at Morgan lately. But anyway, getting back to this subject matter here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan testified before the Senate Appropriations Committee of Interior and Environment and related agency subcommittees hearings on EPA's budget request war on Capitol Hill, which was held back on June 9th of this year, 2021. These are some of the key points that came out of his testimony. The Environmental Protection Agency is ordering a sharp cutback in the use of production of hydrofluoroxide carbons, or HFCs, the climate warming chemical widely used in air conditioning and refrigeration. The number two, to move is the Biden administration's first major regulatory action to reduce domestic greenhouse gas emissions. Number three, the agencies will start phasing down the chemicals next year and gradually curb production, and importantly, by 85% over the next 15 years. The Environmental Protection Agency is sharply curbing the use of production of hydrofluoride carbons, the climate warming chemicals widely used in air conditioners and refrigeration. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if the carbon is down, they're going to have to use something else, because people still got to have refrigeration. The move is the Biden administration's first major regulatory action to reduce domestic greenhouse gas emissions. It also is the first time that the federal government has set national standards for hydrofluoride carbons, of HFCs, which are thousands of times more potent than carbon dioxide at heating up the planet. The EPA said that the rule could avoid 0.5 degrees Celsius on global warming by the end of the century. The agency will begin regulating the chemicals next year and will force industry to curb production and imports by 85% over the next 15 years. Officials said during the virtual press conference briefing on Wednesday, the EPA proposes the ruling in March and will finalize this on Thursday. The agency rule is expected to reduce the equivalent of 4.7 billion metrics of carbon dioxide by mid-century, or roughly 3 years' worth of emissions from the country's power sectors by 2019, levels according to estimates from EPA. Now, there's a blue link there on this particular article, which you'll be able to click on that and get more information. We have such reductions should help the Biden administration pledge to curb U.S. emissions in half by 2030. There is also a blue link there, and reach a net zero economy by 2050. The president issued an executive order in January that requested Congress to ratify the 2016 Ken Gilmore Amendment to the 1987 Montreal Protocol, which aims for the phasing down of HFCs. White House Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy on Wednesday called the agency rule a victory for combating climate change and securing U.S. jobs. As we move in this direction, we are also operating up a huge opportunity for American industry, McCarthy said during the briefing. Reducing HFCs is a huge climate success story. emissions from HFCs rose between 2018 and 2019, according to EPA, as demand for air conditioning and refrigeration soared historically in high temperatures in the U.S. Some U.S. market manufacturers have already moved to more climate-friendly refrigerations, and more chemical companies have supported EPA's proposal to phase down HFC, including the Air Conditioning, Heating, and Refrigeration Institution, a trade group that represents the manufacturers of heating and cooling equipment. EPA Administrator Michael Regan said that the new limits will help the country transition to a more energy-efficient cooling technologies while creating new jobs. This action reaffirms President Biden's always said when he thinks about climate, he thinks about jobs. Reagan said during his briefing, his administration knows that what's good for the environment is good for the economy. And that is the article, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be able to go and I've just read the article for your listening purposes, and you'll be able to go there and read it for yourself and delve into those links. Now, we also have several other informative blogs and articles, and one is called Regulatory Keynote, Honorable Jennifer Holmes to speak live at the Energy Summit, Policy Summit, which will be put on by the American Association of Blacks in Energy. Now, you know that the National Association of Blacks in Solar, we reached out for Mrs. Jennifer Holmes to be on a webinar back in June of this year to address our African-American solar installation, design, workforce development training, and EV charging African-American-owned firms to let them know what does the Justice 40 initiative, which is known under the Biden administration as a commitment of 40% investment of so-called communities of color, when we have a problem with the word communities of color. We need to know in terms of carve-outs for the African-American community. And we put in our platform and request to the scheduling secretary of the Department of Energy, Mrs. Jennifer Grant Holmes, where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans, the implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Bill? Now, we have worked and beat the drum around these issues, and we've also reached out to Mr. Tracy Woods, who is the Vice President of Operations for the American Association of Blacks in Solar, to give us an opportunity to raise the question to Mrs. Holmes during the upcoming policy summit, and we are still waiting on a response. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of another edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We only programmed this show for 60 minutes this morning, and I hope that we brought you news that you can definitely use. Until we said, don't meet us here, but beat us back here, as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show will be available on by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positive change, positivechange. P is in Paul, C is in cat.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You can listen to the show there, or you can go to Facebook, Twitter, or link. And we have tags for this show for your listening availability, and convenience. So until next week, we say don't meet us back here, but beat us back here as we close another edition of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So as we say, please, until next week, go in peace as we close out another...
What's saying? I can tell you, say it. Life is a song. What's saying? Why don't you say it? You hold the key in the palm of your